me read some background before we go with this. At the June 1st, 2020 meeting, the Assembly expressed the desire to allow Assembly members to attend meetings in person if they choose while observing social distancing practices. This amendment to Public Health Mandate Number 3, if approved, extends the temporary suspension of in-person participation by the public, parentheses, due to lack of space to social distance, but will allow Assembly, Board, and Commission members who prefer to attend in person while observing social distancing practices to do so. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Norheim. Discussion.
Oh. Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Member Mucci.
I'm not sure I'm in favor of this at this point. I wanted to get it out there for discussion. You know, several of us, you know, are in favor of getting together, I think, and some of us are still nervous about it. You know, the component that still I haven't figured out yet is if you have a public meeting, you're going to let members of the public there, but I'm just concerned about public meetings and limiting the public to be there. You know, some people are, you know, one of the attendance policy for this ordinance, which I think it is here, is that it talks about people wearing a face covering while inside the municipal building. Well, you know, not everybody's in favor of the face covering. So I don't see a big hurry to get together. I mean, I think a lot of us are going to be in and out of town throughout the summer. You know, without any more testing up at the airport, we still don't know if we're getting anything coming into town with our visitors. So I'll probably not be voting in favor of it this time, but, you know, I'd like to kind of see how we move forward with the health of the community. So, yep, thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. As a point of clarification, Clerk Thompson, if adopted, would this allow the public to attend meeting live or still only telephonically? Again, not members of the Assembly or the committee, but members of the participating public.
The participating public would participate telephonically if they wanted to participate during the meeting, or they could, of course, always continue to email the Assembly as they have been doing.
Thank you for that clarification, Clerk Thompson. That's the way I read that as well. Wanted to touch on that regarding Member Mucci's comments that people with visitors' views would still be participating telephonically. Thank you for that clarification.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Mucci, or excuse me, Member Lynn, go ahead.
I'm going to take an alternative view of that. Is that I think that what was drafted hits exactly the discussion that we had at the last meeting. It allows members to make their own choice whether they want to attend in person or to do it telephonically. It takes no rights away. It requires masking. If you want to, if you don't want to, you can still call in. It's a first step in trying to come back to some normal way of doing business. And so I'm totally supportive that we implemented. It takes no rights away. It just allows choices to be made, and you can make your own choices. And I think it's time we start moving towards making some kind of opening to begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Member Norheim, I believe I heard you chiming in there before.
I just wanted to hear what Member Lynn had to say.
Well, that was in good timing.
Yes, it was.
Further discussion? I'll chime in on it. I'll be voting yes. I think Member Lynn phrased that well. Speaking for myself, that's not something I have interest in at this point. But I understand that since both the borough manager and the clerk have said they can accommodate the Assembly in chambers with appropriate distancing and, as was mentioned, appropriate precautions being taken. you know, again, Member Lynn praised it well. It's a good first step, and it, you know, addresses each individual's acceptable level of risk and comfort. So I have no problem voting yes on this today. Further discussion?
Yeah, just really quick.
Yep.
I'll be voting for it. Again, I think it's a good option. I think it's good to start to model what this kind of behavior looks like, since it's looking like it's going to be with us for a while. And I thought it would be worth reading out there's six steps that assembly members or board members, if they so choose, would be participating in to have safe meetings. Arriving for the meeting at least 15 minutes prior to the meeting start time, using provided hand sanitizer upon entry to the municipal building, wearing a face covering while inside the municipal building, recording body temperature and answering COVID-19 specific questions, sitting at least 6 feet apart in the assembly chambers and only in the prearranged seating, maintaining a minimum of 6 feet from any other meeting attendee, as well as once everyone leaves, the assembly chambers will be sanitized after each public meeting. So, again, that's what the protocol would be for this to happen if people chose to participate that way. But providing that option, I think, is going to be important as we go forward, too, to accommodate people's schedules and realities. And I just wanted to read that out for the public just so they get a sense of what the measures are for them to consider as they do business in their own lives and situations to consider going forward.
Thank you for that information for the public, Member Tremblay. I appreciate that. Any other discussion from the Assembly? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Randy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes 5-1 with Member Mucci voting no. Which brings us to item E, Petersburg Borough Public Health Mandate Number 5, Borough Harbor Facilities Revised and Extended. A brief thing on it, Public Health Maintenance Mandate Number 5 is amended to add recent changes to State Health Mandate 10, intra-state travel, and extends the effective date of August 31st, 2020, unless extended or earlier terminated. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
I believe that was moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Tremblay. Discussion. Carl, since you're on the line, I think all of us in the Assembly have poured over this, and it's fairly exhaustive. Maybe for the listening public, you could briefly fill people in on, I know you've been navigating this a lot, the state stuff coming down, if you can kind of line people out in public what this means.
Sure, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
So mandate number 5 is a local mandate, and the goal of it is to control access to Petersburg Harbor. Initially, the first drafting of the mandate was specific to smaller cruise ships that were planning to come into Petersburg, and we wanted to assert control over any of those vessels coming into town that may be a risk to our local population and our economy by bringing in the virus. So this amendment, though, is more closely focused on the recent changes to the state interstate travel mandate number 10. And you know, that mandate, when it changed, it allows for entry into the state given certain conditions are met, pre-testing or testing after you're here, that sort of thing. And what that did, you know, by eliminating it doesn't eliminate the 14-day quarantine as an option, but as a rule, it moved away from that. When that rule was in place, it effectively, protected Petersburg from access on the water side of our community from cruise ships and other visitors. But with the changes, we had to take another look at this mandate and try to make it make sense with the state's direction on this. And so you'll notice that in the past where we talked about being applicable to small cruise ships, the new amended version of Mandate 5 talks about passengers that are applicable to Mandate 10. And so it's really narrowing the focus to exactly what Mandate 10 is trying to achieve, which is a focus on the traveler themselves and their responsibilities to test or quarantine when they get to Alaska. It's difficult to discriminate against a harbor traveler versus an airport traveler, and with the state's initial focus on airports being key and urgent, it made sense to extend that same type of situation to the harbor travelers. And so with that, the changes are in place. It still retains the authority of our local health officer. Any person that comes into our harbor from another community and is applicable to Health Mandate 10 from the state, if there's somebody on board a ship that or a vessel that meets that criteria, then that captain should be calling our health officer and getting permission to disembark in Petersburg. And the health officer's role in this will be to protect the community, to interview the captain, ask questions about what process they've gone through to meet mandate number 10, also do a verbal screening of the people on board, and if there are COVID signs and symptoms of anybody on board or a COVID positive person on board, then the passengers will likely, probably, and most definitely not be, if they're positive, be able to disembark into the community. However, if the captain can show proof that everybody on board is either not applicable to Mandate 10 or they have met all the provisions of Mandate 10, just as somebody coming in at the airport may have done, then they will be allowed to disembark the vessel and enter into Petersburg. It seems like a safe way to go, and as I said, it's not discriminatory against harbor users over airport travelers.
Thank you, Director Hageman, for that clarification. With that, I'll open it up to discussion from the Assembly. Or questions for Director Hageman, of course. I'll chime in since there's not a lot to say on it. Just wanted to speak directly to you, Carl, for navigating all the complexities coming down from the state right now. I know it's taken up definitely days, afternoons, and occasionally weekends trying to adapt to this constantly moving target. So thank you for what you're doing with that. I even the listening to it is exhausting at times. I know it's not easy, so thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Go right ahead, Member Nucci.
Thank you. So I just want to be clear that I understand what Carl just said, so that if we pass this extension on this mandate to August 31st, 2020, and we have this mandate in place, if a cruise ship wants to come to town between now and August 31st and they present a plan to our health officer and the health officer signs off on it, then they will be able to disembark here? Thank you.
Through the mayor? Mr. Mayor, can I respond to that?
Charles, can you hear me? Go right ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're very, very, very quiet there, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, Member Mucci, to answer your question, the mandate is less about a plan and more about what is happening on the ship at the time, 24 hours before they come into port in Petersburg. So the plan issue, of course, I mean, we would, as an EOC, we are requesting that, that cruise lines to send us their plan ahead of time so we understand what kind of precautions and mitigation they are taking for their crew and passengers as they wind their way through Southeast Alaska and visit different communities. That's been very valuable for us just to understand, for instance, what American Cruise Line is planning as far as onboard screening for passengers and crew, what their plan is for when or if somebody does start exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19. That's all very good information, but that plan does not, approval of that plan does not give them the right to disembark in Petersburg. To disembark in Petersburg, they must call the health officer at least 24 hours before they arrive and go through a verbal screening with Dr. Tosillo, who is our health officer right now. And based on that screening, he will decide whether or not the passengers and crew on that vessel will disembark in Petersburg. Does that answer your question?
A little bit, thank you. And so, if we see a cruise ship tied to the dock and we see the passengers walking through town, then the assumption that we're making is that that ship has passed all the protocols and there's nobody symptomatic on the vessel.
Yes, that is correct.
Does that answer your questions, Member Mucci?
Sure. I'm just trying to. I've been talking about this for like 5 days, and I'm just trying to make sure I understand it. So, there isn't any reason why a cruise ship can't come to Petersburg this month, as long as they present a plan, and their plan is approved by our health officer, and when they get 24 hours from when they come to Petersburg, they go through this verbal checklist with the health officer. Is that correct?
Yes, partially. It's still the plan is nice to have, but they don't need approval of the plan. It's really what is going on the on board the vessel before it arrives. And if there is anybody on the vessel that's subject to Mandate 10.
You still have the floor, Member Mucci, if you'd like some more out of that.
I'll have to chew on it just for a second, Mr. Mayor.
Sounds good. Any further discussion from the Assembly? Anything else you want to add, Member Mucci, before I call the roll?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So then why do this mandate? Why not just let the cruise ships decide when they want to come to town, put a plan together, and then 24 hours from when they come to Petersburg, they get a hold of our health officer, and he's the one giving them the okay to come to town. Okay?
Member Mucci, the only reason that the health officer has the authority to grant permission to get off the boat is because of the mandate. Without the mandate, it's just advice. And so I believe that the mandate is important to assert our control. It is the instrument that gives us control over our harbor at this moment in time.
Thank you.
Roger that. Any further discussion from the Assembly? The clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously. Bring us to item F. Jokeman Enterprises, LLC, requests to lease tidelands at the Scow Bay turnaround. I'll just read the brief piece to it. They've applied to lease the 6,400 square feet of tidelands, the Scow Bay turnaround, for the purposes of establishing and operating a vessel maintenance business. Planning Commission recommends approval of the lease with a three-year review to ensure the site is being used as proposed. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Norheim. Discussion.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci, proceed.
Thank you. I don't know if Mr. Cook is still on the phone, but, you know, I've read what's in the description, but maybe it would be good to let the public know what kind of services will be available at Scow Bay in this building. Thank you.
Clerk Thompson, I suppose if he's on the line, this would be an appropriate time.
Yes, please. Thank you. Operator Mario, if you could please unmute Mr. Cook.
The line is open.
Go ahead, Mr. Cook.
This facility is going to be both boat repair and then when there's nobody in there, we'll be working on building boats if we can. But it will be everything to do with the vessels that are able to be taken in and out of the water on the hydraulic or regular trailers, either way. From welding, painting, it's completely enclosed, so it'll be year-round weatherproof, basically, if you can have a weatherproof place in Southeast Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Basically, anything that has to do with boats that'll fit in it, that will be done there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Mr. Cook, I appreciate you giving us that feedback this evening very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead on this one. I usually wait towards the end, but to me, this is a no-brainer to approve it. The Planning Commission approved it. John Mergus, a local businessman in Scow Bay, wrote a letter of support and has a PEDC letter of support. I think Mr. Cook's business is a great business. You know, his proposal is a great opportunity for new business in Scow Bay, and I'm glad he's interested in doing business here in Petersburg. Now, further discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Of course, Member Lynn.
Yeah, I have two questions for the manager. In the lease itself, question one, in the lease itself, this will require the leasee to actually operate the facility to the intent that it was intended to originally. And if that isn't the case, then does the lease, I assume there's a cause in there that requires them to operate. And if they don't operate, then that reverts back to the borough. And do we then monitor that?
Go ahead.
Through the mayor, yes. Yes, that is true.
Okay. Now, I mean, my second question then, if that be the case, the current leasees there, is that same type of provision in their permits?
Yeah, Assemblymember Lynn, I'm not sure about that. I
will have to look.
Yeah, Clerk Thompson says she'll have to check the lease there and see.
Okay, thank you. I'll follow up later on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Any further discussion by the Assembly regarding the Jokeman Enterprises LLC request to lease sidelines at Scow Bay turnaround?
Just a short comment, Mr. Mayor.
Of course, Member Norheim, go right ahead.
You know, I fish, and I know that the fishing fleet loves to have people that support them when they do these things, and I'm looking forward to voting yes on another support facility for our fleet.
Thank you, Member Norheim. Well said. Any further discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
You bet.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously. On to letter G, letter to Lieutenant Governor Meyer regarding 2020 state and local elections. Assemblymember Tremblay authored the proposed letter to Lieutenant Governor Meyer, which encourages increased access to voting by mail during a pandemic. I would entertain a motion to approve this letter.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved by Member Tremblay and seconded by Member Mucci. Discussion, if you're so inclined, Member Tremblay, since you brought the letter up, if you'd care to lead out, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So this letter came about after watching the State Affairs House Committee hearing on the topic last month, I believe. They have folks from some national groups as well as the municipal clerk from Anchorage to talk about basically the bare bones of the vote-by-mail system, the different security measures in place, and I thought it seemed logical, so I started working on a draft. And it felt like a developing scenario. I kept changing language, so it took some time to bring it to us. And within the time that the letter was drafted and between the time we are talking about it now, there has been a development. So the Lieutenant Governor announced last week that they are actually the goal of this letter is to ask the Lieutenant Governor to increase access to voting by mail for the public at large, because right now you need to take that extra step to request an absentee ballot, or you're doing in-person voting either early or at the day of. And again, this is a situation where 900 to 1,000 people tend to go vote in person during a general election. And given the uncertainties, given the fall, avoiding that would be great in a lot of ways. So between when I drafted the letter and where we are right now, last week, the Lieutenant Governor has announced that they are sending out one of the things I asked for in this letter. They are sending out a letter of request. Basically, if you get this letter in the mail and it says, do you want to apply for an absentee ballot, yes or no? And so it takes that step out of your hands. It's easy to fill it out, mail it back, and then you'll get your ballot mailed to you at home. But the Lieutenant Governor is doing that only for people 65 and older right now. And so I would be happy to entertain a motion to amend language on this if we want to just ask him to revise that and send them to every voter. I'm thinking of a lot of people who this could benefit. Take, for example, even a couple, one person 65, the other person 60. Okay, so one person's getting this easy application in the mail, the other person isn't. I'm thinking of people with chronic health issues, that this is a step that they may not think about. I'm thinking of the census, right? This is easier than the census, but right now our census response rate is 17%. And so how do we make this easier for people? We do some work for them. So that's my rationale for wanting this letter to be sent. I'm hoping that he takes it under advisement because I do think it's a easy and safe way to ensure access to the ballot in the fall, and it's one less thing for people to think about. Another step that he announced that he would be doing is adopt a precinct plan where community groups can staff the precincts for the elections. And so basically they're recognizing a need for finding poll workers. They're recognizing the risk for voting in person in the fall, and they're trying to come up with solutions, except so far their solutions seem to be falling rather short. So I'm hoping that this could be a gentle little nudge towards where I think we need to be going, and I'm very open to input. It's frustrating me that we can't do a giant Google Doc where we can all type in comments together. I'm still getting used to this format. So I'm open to comments and feedback and language change. I just hope we can nudge us there a little bit better sooner for the benefit of all of us.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. Further discussion from the Assembly?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Member Lynn.
Yeah, I'm on the fence on this letter. I like the latter part of what Member Tremblay said. The letter as it stands, I probably would vote no for. If you would like to make some amendment to say to send it to all, asking all folks if they want absentee, I could agree with that one. But I've done some sensing around asking people the last few days, and most people are acceptable with the current system. They don't really see a need for a change. So with that said, I'd vote no as it stands right now, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Further discussion from the Assembly?
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Member Mucci.
Thank you very much. I was just curious if, you know, Member Tremblay, if she had an amendment to this. If she wants to change it, now would be the time to change it before we go in a direction that might not be successful. I'm just trying to figure out if she has some amendments that she'd like to push forward here. Thank you.
Okay, Member Mucci. Okay. Further discussion from the Assembly.
I'd like to make a motion.
I'll chime in. Go ahead, Member Tremblay.
So on the second to last paragraph, there is a sentence that says, whether uniformly enacting vote by mail or proactively sending absentee ballot requests to voters to ensure easy access to the ballot, it is our hope that the state of Alaska will be proactive about these concerns. I would like to strike that sentence, and I would like to amend it to say, where as of June 11th, you announced letters of request for ballots to voters 65 and older, we ask that be amended to include all registered voters in the state of Alaska.
Clerk Thompson, did you get that?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank goodness.
I'll
There's
second.
No way I was getting that again.
Is that a second Member Mucci that I heard from you?
Yes, sir.
Right on. Discussion on the amendment. I'll chime in right away on that. I'll vote for the amendment, and I'll vote for the letter. And my reasoning is fairly simple-minded, but I think it applies. I'm pretty much in favor of anything that safely and keeps the integrity of elections in place to increase voter turnout. And I think with some of the uncertainty we've got right now, anything that gets more people involved in the voting process, I have to support. Lived in places before where the day of, you know, voter registration, and not coincidentally, voter turnout is generally higher. You can register day of. And this, you know, encouraging Lieutenant Governor to broaden the vote-by-mail option to all demographics makes sense to me. Because, again, it's not going to drive down voter turnout. All it's going to do is help more people get in there. So I'll be voting yes. Further discussion on the amendment. Okay, will the clerk call the roll on the amendment?
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the amendment passes unanimously. Now we're back to the letter as amended. Any further discussion regarding the letter to Lieutenant Governor Meyer as amended?
Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci, proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, this isn't making people vote by mail. This just gives people an option. You know, I'm sure we've seen a couple letters from members of the public who are concerned about this. But, you know, this isn't saying that you have to vote by mail. This is giving you the opportunity to. And I think, like we spoke earlier, I think anytime we can do anything to increase the voter turnout, it's a good thing. It gives more people the opportunities to participate. So, yep, I think it's a good idea, and I thank Member Tremblay for pushing this forward.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Any further discussion on the letter as amended? Clerk, please call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that letter to Lieutenant Governor, as amended, was approved unanimously, bringing us on to item H, letter to University of Alaska Board of Regents in support of the University of Alaska Southeast in its current form in Southeast Alaska. Assembly Member Mucci requested this letter to the University of Alaska Board of Regents in support of the University of Alaska Southeast remaining intact in its current form. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Been moved by Member Mucci.
Second.
Is there a second? Been seconded by Member Norheim. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Member Mucci.
I want to thank City Clerk Thompson for helping me put this together. She does most of the heavy lifting when it comes to some of my requests, so I just want to make sure she got my thanks for doing this. But, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been listening to the University of Alaska kind of get beat up by, you know, folks higher up the food chain. And, you know, for me, the University of Alaska, especially in Southeast, it's a big deal for small communities, especially in Southeast. I mean, it gives people an opportunity to further their education, being able to get into a more productive workforce, become teachers. I think to do away with it, kind of limits our abilities to kind of expand our horizons. I mean, you don't have to get a degree, but there's pretty cool classes that they put together, you know, as creative writing classes, and it's an important part of Southeast, and I'd hate to see it go away. And so when I heard this on the radio, I thought, well, at least we could send a letter of our support, because I think it is important to a lot of people here in Petersburg. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Member Lynn, proceed.
I've got a problem with the letter. The Board of Regents in the state of Alaska is facing some major budget cuts. And if you look down the road in the next 5 years, they can't continue like they are. They've got some major decisions to make. And, yes, I agree they've been taking a lot of heat here lately. But, you know, I kind of the analogy I would make here is that the same thing is if we had to cut $1 million out of the general fund budget and somebody writes us a letter and says we don't want any change, that's not possible. You would have to make some change. If you would like to write a letter that would say that we'd like to see some a presence that in the Southeast Alaska that really tailors to our needs in Southeast Alaska, I would be supportive of that. But to say, to keep it as it is, I can't support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, you know, I don't know enough about the inner workings of the University of Alaska and, you know, the tough decisions that the Board of Regents makes. They're going to do what they have to do, but I think it's just important that, for me, just to show the region that and the regents that it's important to Southeast, and not really Southeast, but just to Petersburg and to me. I don't think any. I couldn't write a more specific letter about programs I wanted to keep in to this program, and I just wanted to send a letter of support from Petersburg. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Any further discussion on the letter?
Yeah, I do.
Member Tremblay, please go ahead.
I think it's worth sending. I think, you know, to continue Assemblymember Lynn's analogy, we do get people who will speak up for the programs that are under consideration and for cutting, and that does affect people's decisions. And so I've read enough about how this doesn't actually solve the university system's larger issues. It could just be a casualty in the larger process that they're going through that would have a disproportionate effect on university, on Southeast residents. And so I hope that we send this letter. And yeah, I'm really just trying to send good energy to them. They're having to deal with a lot. So I know that they're making tough choices, but disproportionately impacting a region like this could be pretty bad for us and for our workforce, and I'm hoping they make other choices.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. I'll chime in real quick on it. I don't disagree with the word Member Lynn said about that. You know, you look at the longer-term forecast, the university system has some tough choices and some tough sledding ahead, and I don't disagree with that at all. That said, even if this letter feels largely symbolic, I tend to agree with Member Mucci also that University of Southeast Alaska is important. It may not stay in its current form. I know that may not be sustainable. I hope it is. And I think a letter from our assembly, you know, advocating for that, again, even if it's symbolic, I think is an important gesture towards the university system here in Southeast. That's my two cents. Anyone else? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Taylor?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you. The letter fails on a 2-3 margin, if I got that. 3-3 margin, Clerk Thompson, with members Tremblay, Mucci, and Stanton Gregor voting yes.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you, Clerk Thompson. Bringing us on to item I. Borough Manager 2020 Evaluation Form. Clerk Thompson has drafted the evaluation form of the assemblies for the assembly's approval. If approved, Clerk Thompson will put the entire evaluation together and send it out to the assembly and department heads shortly. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Tremblay. Discussion. Well, since not everyone's jumping at once, I'll jump right in. It's important to give our borough manager a performance evaluation in terms of concise, comprehensive way to give him actionable goals, give him feedback of where his strengths and weaknesses are. And I think last year was, we erred in our way we went about it. It felt convoluted, felt not helpful to his performance. And simply put, I'm fine with the way this one looks, and I'll definitely be voting yes. Further discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Mayor?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Member Mucci.
Okay. I was kind of hoping for a little discussion here. You know, I'm not saying that these four pages or these three pages are perfect. I was kind of looking for a little bit of input here to kind of, well, This looks okay. I mean, we can certainly vote on this in this form. I'm fine with that, but I thought we might have a little bit of dialogue here, trying to make sure this is what the assembly wanted. If we don't want to talk about it and this is fine with everybody, that's great. I'm going to be voting for it, but I just thought there'd be some discussion. So anyway, thank you.
Member Mucci, you're welcome. If there's any changes, of course, they can be made by amendments, so feel free, of course.
I'll
any further discussion or amendment? Please do. Go right ahead, Member Tremblay.
Yeah, I guess I'll stick my hand up as the new kid at the table. I have not done this before, and so to me it all seems great. Does anybody see anything, like, I guess, trying to continue that ask for dialogue? Is there something missing? Is there so explain the process. We'll fill this out, and then we'll bring it back, and then we'll go into executive session to talk about it, correct? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct, Kelsey. Okay. Attached to the form that you see in front of you or something similar will also be a list of goals and objectives that were given the manager last year and the progress that he's made on them. Then you all will have a chance to pare down the goals and objectives or dismiss some or whatever.
Cool. That sounds great. There's no danger that we're going to try to give him 50 more things to do. Is that a concern that we have about this?
It would be nice if we could, keep it focused.
Yeah, four times. Yeah, we'll give you a time turner. We'll make it happen. But no, this looks great. I like the four. It needs improvement. It needs expectations. It exceeds expectations. And then evaluator has no basis for judgment. I think those are great. Different forms of measurement. And it seems, leadership, communication, planning, managing resources, again, problem-solving, decision-making, community relations, staff relations, intergovernmental relations, assembly relations. To me, that seems rather comprehensive. But again, I am the new kid at the table. So is anyone seeing things that they would like to add? I feel like there could be a category added, maybe. I don't.
Thank you, Member Tremblay.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead. Yep, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, last year I think we gave the city manager, a list of goals and objectives. And I know some of them are complete and some of them have been hijacked by the COVID stuff. And I think those goals and objectives should be included. I have no issues about whether or not if they're all completed or not, but I think the goals and objectives that we gave Steve last year should be part of this process just to see where we are. I know Steve has accomplished quite a few of them, but I know he said that he has a few more to go, and my intent is not to hold his feet to the fire on those goals and objectives, but they should be part of this document as well, just so that the new assembly members can see some of the stuff we asked Steve to do and see what he's accomplished. But I think that should be part of this document as well, so that when we do get into executive session, we can kind of talk to him and get his candid input about if some of the goals and objectives that we've given him are just not able to be done. I want to hear about it. I mean, a lot of us had some issues with the Parks and Recreation program, and he's doing some great things up there to kind of get that squared away. But I think that goals and objectives portion of it should
Member
be included.
Mucci.
Yes, sir.
Member Mucci, as a point of clarification, and Clerk Thompson, correct me if I'm wrong, those will be included in our eval packets we'll be receiving, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we'll be getting that information, Jeff. We'll all have access to it during the eval process. Not to cut you off, but it's already in place, sir.
Okay, that sounds good. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Mucci.
So I'd just like to hear from the city manager. Are there things that you'd like to see added to this, or are these things that you think are acceptable? I mean, we're doing your evaluation, but I value your input as well.
Through the mayor, thank you, Assemblymember Meeks. No, I think this will be fine. The challenge, if you make it too complex, is then people get wrapped up in the details of that, and then it's really hard to be, accurate. It's hard to pull things together. So I think this is a much more refined package than what we tried to use last year. As several of you have mentioned, I think the goals and objectives are hugely important, and both what you gave me last year and how I did on them, and then also what you want done for the upcoming, year or two. So, anyway, I think it looks good.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any further discussion regarding the borough manager evaluation form?
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Member Mucci.
Thank you. So if we agree to send this out, or we agree on this form, it'll get sent to us. Is there some kind of discussion about when we want to have this evaluation in? Are we talking the end of July? Or I'm just looking for some direction here. Thank you.
Clerk Thompson, can you answer that?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Member Mucci, every year with the evaluation, there is a instruction letter from me that gives the dates that I need everything back and what the next move will be. I will need a little bit of time if this is approved in order to get the entire evaluation packet together. But as soon as I do, I will get it out to all of you with a timeline of when the evaluation will take place.
Thank you.
Anything further regarding the borough evaluation form? With that, will the clerk please call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously, and thank you for your efforts getting that out to us, Clerk Thompson. That brings us down to item 16, communications. We have two letters in the record this week, one from the Salvation Army, one from a group called Thread. Both of those can be viewed on the borough website. Thank you to those organizations for participating. And again, you can find those on the borough website. Bringing us to assembly discussion items, the amendment was to turn the floor to Member Lynn regarding the underwater line. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Member Lynn.
Okay, thank you. Very quickly, we have now received three responsive bids for the replacement of the underwater cable. Each bid package we've received has well over 200 pages of details. It's going to take staff significant amount of time to go through this. They're hoping to have this sorted out by the end of the month when I conduct the next SEPA meeting. Whether that's done or not is still a question, but I'm very pleased that we've got three very responsive bids and folks want to do it. So with that, and that's all I have to say. I don't know much more, but other than that at this point, thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn, for that update. I know you don't have anything. You said that's pretty much all you knew about the topic, so I don't know if any other members had any questions for you that would be relevant at this point. With that, Bob, we look forward to hearing an update from you in the future as that moves forward. Thank you for your efforts on that. Bring us to the next item, Assembly member comments. Any comments from the Assembly on this fair evening? Hearing none, I will go down to B, recognitions. Any recognitions from staff or the Assembly this evening? I said one. I also really wanted to thank all of our retail workers in Petersburg for the last 3 months of working really hard to safely provide us food and services. I try to be as patient and as kind to y'all whenever I see you at the store. And I thank you for your patience and kindness with us as members of the public. We can't do anything without you. I know oftentimes you can feel underappreciated. Just know that you're not. Your continued efforts to help us go through our daily lives are much appreciated. So, again, thank you so much to all the retail workers in our community. Much, much appreciated. Any further recognitions from the Assembly?
I have one.
Go ahead, Member Tremblay.
I'd just like to thank everybody for wearing masks when in indoor spaces around folks not in their family units, especially as we go along and more new faces come into town and we see outbreaks happening in regions and states throughout. We are what in journalist Ed Yong has called the patchwork pandemic. It's going to be a very nebulous situation across our country for quite a while unless something changes. And coming inside is an important part of sharing fellowship with people that we care about, but making sure to do that while wearing masks and being responsible with our behavior is going to make all the difference for us as we go forward. So thank you to everybody who is coming together with that in mind, and thank you to everyone who's taking it on themselves to engage that way or to choose to remove themselves from those situations if they're feeling like it's unsafe. It's important that we continue to follow the health guidelines that way going forward. So thank you to everybody for doing that and for, you know, they kind of suck. I'm sorry, they do. So thank you to everyone for sticking with it. And here's hoping that we continue to make a difference that way.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. Any other recognitions from folks tonight? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Norum, second by Member Tremblay. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
With that, the meeting is adjourned. You guys have a great evening.